Good morning. We were on Chav Zayin Amud Beis, and the Gemara is dealing with a contradiction between Brisos. So, on the one hand, we have a Brisa that says that if any of the sprinklings of the Parah Aduma are not done towards the Ohel Moed, not done towards the Beis HaMikdash, towards the entrance of the Beis HaMikdash, the Parah Aduma is disqualified. And then we have a second Brisa that says the sprinklings of the blood of the Parah Aduma done shelo l'shma would disqualify, but if it's not done towards the Beis HaMikdash lo mechuvanos, it is kosher. That was the contradiction.
But it had to be done inside Beis HaMikdash, right?
Nothing's
right
in the Beis HaMikdash with the Parah Aduma. It's on Har HaZeitim. Parah Aduma is the one sort of sacrifice which is happening outside of the Beis HaMikdash. It's slaughtered on Har HaZeitim, and the blood is sprinkled from Har HaZeitim towards the direction of the Beis HaMikdash. So here we have a contradiction. One Brisa says that if it wasn't sprinkled towards the Beis HaMikdash, it's kosher. The other Brisa says it's not. So the Gemara answered that the Gemara is going to say it's a machlokas. So that's what the Gemara is going to answer. So the Gemara says, well, let's start up at that point again. So it's all the way at the top. I'm Rav Chizr. Rav Chizr said, Lokash, it's not a contradiction. Harab Yehuda Harabanan. On Chav Zayin Mebeis. Rav Chizr says, it's not a contradiction. Because, as we're going to see later in the Gemara, it's really going to focus on how you interpret the word El. And that's an argument between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan. The Tanya went to the Braisa, Mechusari Kapara, if somebody is a Zav and he hasn't brought yet his carbon to become fully pure, Shenich Vesul Azar, and he walks into the Azara B'Shogik by mistake, Chayev Chatas, he has to bring a Chatas. But amazing, if he does it on purpose, Anush Karis, he gets a death penalty. Certainly, a tvul yom, someone who's gone to the mikvah and the sun hasn't yet set, ushar kalatmeim, or any other level of tuma, or tahorim, even tahorim, namely a zar, shenichnasu lefnim mechitzas, and who go beyond where they're allowed to go, la heichal. Let's say they go into the heichal kulo. Then the heichal is the place where you have the shulchan, the menorah, the mizbeach apnimi, the inner mizbeach. Then they'd get Arbaim Malkus, they'd get 40 lashes. If they go in Mi Beis La Paroches, right past the Paroches, then, or if they go past the area right past the Paroches, they actually go El Pnei HaKaporis, to right in front of the Aron, then it's B'misa, then they get the death penalty. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, Kol Heichal Kulo, if they go into the Heichal, or Mi Beis La Parochas, so right past the Parochas, it's Arbaim, they only get lashes. Al Pnei HaKapores, if they go right in front of the Aron, then they get Misa, then they get death. So, my Kamifki, what's the argument between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, Baha'i Kratz, about this Pasuk? Vayom HaShem HaMoshe, HaShem tells Moshe, Dar B'la'arun HaKicha, tell Aaron your brother. Val Yavo B'cholis HaLa Kodesh, you shouldn't come at all times into the Holy. Mi Beis La Paroches, past the Paroches, El Pnei HaKaporos, Asher El Aron, to right in front of the Kaporos, right in front of the cover, which is over the Aron, because then he would die. So in order for him not to die, he shouldn't do that. So how do you interpret this pasuk? Rabbanan Savi, the Rabbanan hold, El HaKodesh, if he goes into the Heichal, the Kodesh, that's just below Yavo, that's just the Lav. Mi Beis La Paroches, if he goes past the Paroches, or El Pnei HaKaporos, or past the Parochas, to right in front of the Aron, then it's below Yamas, and he gets death. Rav Yehuda Sav, Rav Yehuda holds El HaKodesh, both to the Heichal, and Mi Beis La Parochas, and past the Parochas, it's lo Yavu, it's just the Lav. El Pnei HaKaporos, below Yamas, but only right in front of the Aron, would he then get death. So my time, my Rabbanah, what's the reasoning of the Rabbanah? Because they'll say like this, Yisak adat could become Rabbi Yehuda, if you're going to think it the way Rabbi Yehuda thought it. So Lichta Rahman Hashem should have said, Al Yavo B'chol Eis El HaKodesh, he should not come whenever he wants to the holy, Ve'al Pnei HaKapores, or to in front of the Aron, Ve'lo Yamusu, let him not die. Ve'lo Boimi Beis LaParochas, there would be no need to mention also explicitly not to go past the Parochas. Va'ano Amin, I would say like this, Heichal Mechayev, if he walks into the Heichal, he get Malkos. So certainly if he goes past the Parochas, he gets Malkos. So why did Torah have to mention it? Why did Hashem have to mention he shouldn't go past the Parochas? Shmamin Abimisa must be to say that he gets death if he goes past the Parochas too. Rabbi Yehuda will tell you back. Because the Rachman of Hashem would have said, Allah Kodesh. If he would have said, don't go into the Kodesh, and then say, and don't go to in front of the Kaporis, because then you'd get death. Havamina would have thought, my Kodesh, what is the Kodesh that it's saying you don't go into? Mi beis laparochas. Kodesh means past the parochas, means the Holy of Holies. Aval heichal, but just going into the heichal, the area of the table, the area of the menorah. Lav namila, I think there isn't even a lav. Rabban will tell you, no, Ahum lo matzis amris, you can't even think that. This is where we had gotten up to yesterday. Heichal kulu ikri kodesh. Because of course you can't walk into the heichal. You can't say that there's no lav of walking into the heichal when you're tamei. Because the heichal is called the kodesh. Nemar, because it says, v'yivdila parochas lachem mena kodesh. V'yivdila kodesh hakodeshim. The parochas is what sets off kodesh hakodeshim. Before that is heichal, which is kodesh. Rabbi Yehuda might time it. So Rabbi Yehuda, what's he going to say back to that? So it's all like this. And if you're going to think the way the Rabbanan are saying it, Licht of Rahman Hashem should have said, Al Yavo B'chol Eis El HaKodesh. He shouldn't come at any time to the Kodesh. So that'll be the lav of going into the Heichal when he's Tameh. And then it should just say, we based on Parochas. And if he goes past the Parochas, he would die.
What is he calling the door?
No, anyone.
Past the Parochas. Going to Kodesh Kodeshim, only Kohen Gadol was allowed to.
Correct. And anyone else who did it would die.
It
would be based on parochas, and then it should say, and he shouldn't go past the parochas in order not to die. There's no need to say, and he shouldn't go also in front of the Aron. I know, I mean, I will tell you like this. If mi beis la parochas b'misa, if once you go past the parochas, he gets death because he's not allowed to. Al pnei kaporas mi bayit. Certainly he would get death if he went past the parochas all the way to in front of the kaporas, in front of the aron. So al pnei kaporas the cause of rachman alamli. So why did Hashem have to say that he shouldn't be standing in front of the kaporas? Because then he would get death. Shmami, now you see from this, al pnei kaporas b'misa, that if he goes to in front of the kaporas, he actually gets death. And mi beis la parochas, and going past the parochas, is ba'azhara. That is just a lav. So the Rabbanan, what are they going to say back to Rabbi Yehuda's claim? So Achanami, you're right. The lo tzarech doesn't have to say al pnei kaporas. Had the kasav rachman al pnei kaporas. The reason why it says al pnei kaporas is limute derech meshupash. Now we're getting to why we brought this whole down. They're saying that the reason why the pasuk says al pnei kaporas is to say that if he doesn't go in the normal way, let's say he goes in from the side, instead of walking in from the east to the west, he broke in on the south or on the north. He broke through the wall of the Beit HaMikdash to get into the Kodesh HaKadashim, and he doesn't have the death penalty. Kedetana debei Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. As Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov taught in the Brice, it was taught in the yeshiva of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. The verse says, El pnei kaporas keitma. So zebanav, that's a source. Shekol makom shenemar pnei, wherever it uses the word pnei, eino elo pnei kadim. It has to mean through the east. Rabbi Yehuda, what's he going to say? Le makra, the pasuk for that could have just said, pnei kaporas. My el, why did it say el? Shemamina, that's to say el dafka. Only el pnei kaporas is where there is a death penalty. And not just walking past the parochas gets the death penalty. The Rabbanan will tell you, El lav dafka. When someone, if the Torah says El, it doesn't mean only this way. Lav dafka, El pnei kaporas, but also right before it, going past the parochas, also would get the death penalty. Now, so now we get back to Paraduma. Rabbi Yehuda, the Amar El Pnei HaKapora Stavka. So if Rabbi Yehuda uses the word El to say it has to be this, and therefore El Pnei HaKapora is to say that only when the person who has no right to be there is all the way in front of the Kaporas, all the way in front of the Aron, does he have a death penalty. So if that's the case, V'hiza El Nochach Pnei Ohel Moed, when it says about the Parah Aduma, he has to sprinkle the blood to Pnei Ohel Moed, Nami Dafka, means it has to be that. And therefore, if he's sprinkled not towards the Ohel Moed, it's no good. The Parah Aduma is no good. And Rabbanan, they're the ones who say Midah Hasam Lav Dafka, just like in regards to a person who doesn't have a right to be somewhere. El Pnei HaKaporas doesn't mean only this. Even past the Parochas has the same death penalty. As El is Lav Dafka, Sachanami, see here too. He's El Pnei Ohel Moed, it's going to be Lav Dafka, and that's not necessarily that way. And the Brisa that says that if the blood of the Parah Aduma is sprinkled in the wrong direction, it's still kosher, it's like the Chachamim. So that resolves the problem. Maska for Rav Yosef, so Rav Yosef challenged this. I don't know. The Rav Yehuda mida El Dafka. If Rav Yehuda says El Pnei HaKaporas means Dafka, so then when it regards to Yom Kippur, where it says that the blood is to be sprinkled al pnei kaporas, nami dafka, it should also be that it has to be that way, al pnei kaporas, the blood has to be sprinkled onto the Aron HaKodesh. Then, el demikdash sheni lo havi aron v'kaporas, so in bayis sheni, the second base of mikdash, we didn't have an Aron Kodesh anymore. Mm-hmm. We didn't have a kapara, we didn't have a kaporas, we didn't have a cover over the Aron. Mm-hmm. We didn't have an Aron during the second base of mikdash. We lost it at the end of the first Beis HaMikdash, in the days of King Yoshio. There was no Aron in the times of the second Beis HaMikdash. It was buried somewhere, right? So one second, if that's the case, and the Torah says about the sprinklings of the blood, Al Pnei HaKaporas, HaChanami Lo'ovid Azo, so one second, they didn't do the sprinkling of the blood in the second Beis HaMikdash. The Kohen Gadol never sprinkled blood because there was no Aron HaKodesh to sprinkle it. Some Rabbi Bar Ula Amar Kras, Rabbi Ula said, the Pasuk says about the service of Yom Kippur, V'chiper Es Mikdash HaKodesh. He is to atone the holy area. In other words, Makoma Makudash Lakodesh. He atones with the blood on the place that is made holy for the holy area, even though there was no Aron there. But the place that was holy to hold an Aron, that's where he's atoning on. Rav Amar Rava answered. Okay, Rava goes back to that first contradiction about sprinkling the blood of Parah Aduma, and he said another answer, Hava HaRabbanan, both brisos, the brisa that says that you can sprinkle in the wrong direction, and the brisa that says that you can't sprinkle in the wrong direction, are both the view of the Rabbanan, that who say in regards to the person who can't be in a certain place, El Pnei HaKaporas is Lav Dafka. Aye, so what's the, how do you resolve the contradiction? Hadukai Kohen, Mizrach u'Mayra v'Adi. One is where the Kohen is standing from east to west, and he's sprinkling. Oh, the Braisa that said that if it's not in the right direction, it's possible to kai itself from the Dharam, if he's standing in the north, or if he's standing in the south, v'Adi, and he's sprinkling. That's not in the, it's not in the right direction at all. So if it's in the right direction, he's standing in the right direction, just didn't go towards it, that's okay. But if he's standing, he's standing like this and sprinkling, that's not the right direction. This is the right direction. So then it wouldn't be good at all. Okay, we learned in the Braisa. Bishabifnim, the sprinklings of the blood that happen in the Kodesh, like Karalim Davashal Tzibor, or Shabbat Mitzorah, the sprinkling of a Mitzorah. Shalom Lishman Psulos, if they were sprinkled for the wrong sanctity, it's no good. Shalom Uchuvanos, in the wrong direction, or not in exactly the right spot, it would be Ksheros, would be Kosher. Iva, Tan, we learned in a Braisa that Bein Shalom Lishman, Bein Shalom Uchuvanos, Ksheros, both for the wrong sanctity and in the wrong direction, it's Kosher. Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef said again, it's two different opinions. Lo kash, it's not a contradiction. Ha, the brisa that says that a mitzorah's sprinklings done for the wrong consecration is no good. It's Rav Elezer. And ha, the one that says that if it's done for the wrong consecration, it's still good, is the view of the Rabbanan. Which Rav Elezer and the Rabbanan? Rav Elezer and the Rabbanan of the beginning of Masechta Zvachim. The question is whether an asham is like a chatas, that if it's done shelo lishma, done for the wrong consecration, it would become pasul. Rebbe Lezer, the makish asham lachata. So Rebbe Lezer says that an asham done shelo lishma is no good, just like a chatas done shelo lishma is no good. Makish nami log asham. See, he already compares the log of oil brought with the mitzora to the asham brought by the mitzora, and he'll say that if it's done shelo lishma, it's no good. However, Rabbanan, they hold that an asham shelo lishma itself is good.
Yeah.
So the log also shelo lishma is good. Lo makish, there's nothing to compare. Ule Rebbe Lezer, now according to Rebbe Lezer, v'chidavar alamid behekesh chozum alamid behekesh. The whole source that an asham shelo lishma is no good is because you compare asham to chatas. So something you learned from one hekesh, can you now compare it to another place to say that we learn the law of shelo lishma from chatas to asham, and now you can go take it from asham to log shemen? El amar Rava, so Rava said the answer is both havahavar abanan, both brayos other abanan. Khan, the Braisa says that the sprinkling shelo lishma are kasher lahachshir. That means that the leftover of the oil can be eaten by Kohanim. Khan, and the Braisa that said that the sprinkling shelo lishma is no good, that's lahartzos, that's in terms of accomplishing the goal of making the mitzora fully tzor. If it was sprinkled shelo lishma for the wrong consecration, the mitzora is not tahor. The Mitzorah is still not allowed to eat karbanos. Okay, the rest of today's daf is going to teach us all about the menorah. So we're in the topics of different things that are requirements for each other. Not so much the topics of menachos, topics all over Shas, all over the Torah. So the next thing that is a requirement, you need all of them. Shivak de menorah. The menorah needs to have seven branches. Ma'akvin zetzeh. They are requirements for each other. If the menorah is missing one of the branches, if it only has six branches, it's not kosher. Shiva Nerosel, the seven places for flames on top of the menorah, the seven bowls, each with oil and wick. Also Ma'akvin Zetzef, one of those are missing, it's no good. Another topic. Shtei Parsha Shema Mezuzah Ma'akvah Zuzah. Mezuzah is only kosher, it has both paragraphs written in it. If they are requirements for each other. The truth is, even a single letter, even if there's a single letter missing, the whole mezuzah is no kosher. You can fix a mezuzah, but not with tefillin, as we'll see soon. The four sections of tefillin are totally requirements of each other. Even if a single letter in the tefillin is no good, then the whole tefillin is no good. And the tefillin, it's hard to fix, because the tefillin has to be written in order. So let's say the letter that's wrong is letter 72, and you have another 50 letters afterwards. If I fix letter 72, and that letter has been written after the letter 73, now it's out of order. 72 is written after 73. 72 has to be written before 73. It has to be in order. So tefillin are hard to fix.
Unless the last letter.
Last letter you can fix, or you can fix what you have to fix and replace from there and on. Leave those that are before. Now, another situation where everything is required is tzitzis. Arba tzitzios ma'akvozo etzo. The four tzitzis are requirements for each other. Sharbat and mitzvah, they're all one mitzvah. If you only have three tassels, then you're not fulfilling your mitzvah. Rabbi Yishmael disagrees. Rabbi Yishmael Omer Arbatan Arba Mitzvos. He says that the four tzitzis are four different mitzvos, and therefore they are not ma'akvin zo etzo. He doesn't think that they are requirements for each other. Says the Gemara, let's start with the first case, the menorah. What's that? Sounds like he holds he gets some mitzvah, right? It's some element with each one.
Get a quarter.
My time, what's the reason that the seven branches of the menorah are requirements and you need all of them? Because Havayat Sibu, the Torah says, Kaftorei Muknosami Mena Yihiyu. So since you use the word Yihiyu, they shall be. It has to be this exact way. Now we learn all about the menorah. Tadar Havanamuntin Abraisa, Menorah Sabal Amena Eshes. The menorah was made out of a single block. Now that block itself could have been put together. But it first melts together, you know, ingots of gold to make a single block, and then that block has to be beaten into the shape of the menorah. Umin azav. Ideally, the menorah should be made out of gold. Asamina grutos. Let's say the menorah is made out of chunks of gold, pieces that are blended together, psula, it's no good. Yishamin matzachos, if the menorah is made out of other metals, it is kosher.
This is the only thing Moshe ben Avraham couldn't make.
That's true. He threw it into the fire. That's right.
Right.
Ask the Gemara, Ma'ishtam in a gutos psula, why, if you blend together pieces, is it puzzle? The siv mikshate asay menorah, because the Hashem says the menorah has to be beaten out. And it said, Havaya, right? It says, Yihyu. It has to be this way. One second. So if it's based on Yihyu, Shamin ematachos nami, so why do you say that b'di'evit you could have a menorah of other metals? The Torah says, Asisa menorah zahav tzor. The Torah says, make a menorah of pure gold. And Havaya amarkra. And Havaya. And Hashem said it has to be Yihyu. It has to be this way. So it has to be this way. It has to be out of gold. And so the Gemara, amarkra, the pasuk says, Te'aseh. Miksha te'aseh ha-menorah, beaten out the menorah will be made. So will be made is lerabos, is to include sh'arminei matachos, even other types of metals. Ve'ema, why don't you say te'aseh, there's lerabos gruta'os, why don't you say te'aseh means to include even blending pieces together? Lo saka, that is what you can't think to say. Amiksha k'siva havaya. Next to the word miksha, you have the word yihyu. So that is to be what is the absolute requirement. Why? Te'aseh nami amiksha k'siv. The word te'aseh is next to the word miksha. So look at my answers. Miksha, miksha. It says miksha twice. Miksha te'aseh amenorah and kula miksha achas zahav tor. So whenever it says something twice, la'akiv, that's the absolute requirement. So the absolute requirement is that it be beaten out of a block and not pieces put together. One second. If you say whatever is repeated twice is the absolute requirement. Zav, zav, nami, la'akev. It also says zav twice. Asisa menorah zav tor. And it says kula mikshach zav tor. So my answer is, hi, my. What do you mean by that? Yeah, Rabbi Shlomo, if you're going to tell me, minagrutos, psula, that if you blend pieces, it's no good. And mishar minim atachos kshera, but from other metals, but the evidence is okay. So hainu, now I understand why I need zav, zav, and miksha, miksha, lidrasha, to teach me the following, that it could be from other metals. El iamet, but if you're going to tell me, mina grutos kshera, that if it's pieces joined together, it is kosher. And mishaymin matachot sula, then but other metals is pasul. Then zav zav miksha miksha my drashit be. What are you going to darshin from zav zav and miksha miksha? So question: my drasha. What drashas are you referring to? The tiny one did a brisa. The Torah says, Kikar zav tor yasa osa, it's called akela ma'ela. A block of pure gold, he shall make it all of these vessels. So it says, Kikar zav, that's to say, ba zav, ba kikar. If it's gold, the menorah, then has to be made out of metal of gold weighing a kikar. But eina ba zav, but if it's not being made out of gold, it's being made, let's say, out of bronze or out of silver. Ain't about a kikar. And you don't have to use a kikar. You can use something which weighs, you can use metal that weighs less than that. And another thing, the Torah says, Vasisa menorah zav tor, miksha te'aseh menorah, yurecha ve'kanag, vi'eh kaftor afrachem, yimeno yiyu, make the menorah beaten out, and her various cups, and her buttons, and her flowers are also beaten out of her. So that's telling you again, Bazav, if it's made out of gold, bag via kaftorem uprachim, it has to have cups and buttons and flowers. But ain't a bazav, but if it's not made out of gold, then ain't a bag via kaftorem uprachim, then there's no need to make these cups, buttons, and flowers. So obviously, so the drasha is clearly telling you that you can make it out of other materials. It's not the thing, you have to be only out of gold. So Gemara asks, why? Vei manami, why don't you say bazav ba kanim? Why don't you say another thing? If it's out of gold, then you have branches. Ain't a bazav, ain't a ba kanim, then you don't even need branches. No, hahu, that the menorah needs branches is not a menorah anymore if you don't have branches. That's pamot mikri. That's not called a menorah. That's called pamot. That's called a different item. Now, what do we learn from miksha miksha? The Torah says, v'zeh ma'aseh menorah mikshazav. This is how the menorah is made. Beaten out of gold. That's to say, ba'zav, if it's made out of gold, ba'miksha has to be beaten out of a block. Ain't a baza, but if it's not made of gold, ain't a ba miksha, it doesn't have to be beaten out of a block, but you can rather connect pieces to make it. And it says miksha a second time. Miksha the seifel of my also. What's that teaching us? Miksha he. Limuti chatzotros. It's saying he's a miksha. But the chatzotros, the trumpets, they could be made of pieces put together. They don't have to be beaten out of a single block. It's on his mentioned a brisa chatzotros, the trumpets of the Beis HaMikdash, Hayuboy Mina Eshes. They also were beaten out of a single block. Mina Kasef, made out of silver. Asamina Grutos. And if they weren't made out of Eshes, they weren't beaten out of a single block, but rather pieces were meld, glued together. Kshem, it's still kosher. But if they're not made out of silver, psulim, they're pasul. Umayshna. Mishamina Matachos psulim. Why, if the chatzotros are made out of other metals, are they pasul? Because the pasuk says, Asela chashtei chatzotros kesef, make for yourself two trumpets of silver. And it says, V'hayu l'chala mikro eita havaya. It says, it has to be this way. 1 second, so mina grutos nami, so then also connecting pieces as well. Doesn't it say miksha? And it says havaya. So the answer is no. Since it says in regards to the menorah, miksha hi, miyat rachman al-gabi menorah, since Hashem is excluding by the menorah, miksha hi, this is the one which is miksha. He, this is miksha, v'lo chatzotzos, but the trumpets don't have to be beaten out of a single block.
But this menorah is one of the Romans.
Either by Moshe or later?
Or later, we don't know.
So now, Moshe, all the utensils that Moshe Rabbeinu made, Ksherim Lo, they were usable for him, for his Mishkan. Ksherim Lidoros, they were usable for future generations. Except for the Chatzotos, the trumpets, were Ksheros Lo, he could use those, Upsulos Lidoros. But future generations couldn't use his trumpets. Chatzotzos my timer. Why couldn't future generations use his trumpets? Elaim Adamar Kurfitz on the pasuk that says, Astei lecha, shtei chatzotzos kasef. Make for yourself the two trumpets of silver. So lecha, it has to be for you. The Lolodoros, it can't be used for future generations. Elameatus, when the Torah says about the Aron. Vasei lecha Aron eitz. Hachanami lecha velolodoros. So you're going to say there that the Aron is for you, but not for future generations. So either lecha means you just have to use your own money to make the chatzotzos, or lecha means kiviyachal b'shalchani rotzi yaseh mishalahem, or it just means that Hashem is telling Moshe Rabbeinu, I would rather you use your money than use theirs. But since it has to belong to the nation, use the nation's money for it. But it's not saying that it's only for you to use. So if so, Hai Namis, where it says lecha with the trumpets, mi bayle lahachi, should be for those lessons. Not to say that it's only for you. And the Gemara, shiny achsam, and the trumpets, it's different. Amar Krat says the pasuk lecha lecha treizim, it says it twice. Asay lecha shtei chatzotzos kasef, and it says vayu lecha lemikra ha'edel amasa samachano. Since it says lecha twice, it's to say it's for Moshe Rabbeinu, but not for future generations. For you, but not for future generations. So now some more lessons about the menorah. Tani Rav Papa, Brei Rav Chanin, Kamed Rav Yosef. Rav Papa, the son of Rav Chanin, taught in front of Rav Yosef. Menorah Haisa Bamina Eshes. Menorah is made out of a single block of gold, which is beaten out into the menorah. Minazav, and this block is gold. Asa Shel Kesef, if you made a menorah out of silver, it's also Ksheira. What about Shel Ba'atz? What about lead? What about Ba'atz, I'm sorry,
tin.
Right, Ba'atz is tin, shell aver, aver is lead. Or shell gisterone, or of alloy, a mixture of metals. So Rabbi posts, Rabbi says it's no good. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda Machshir says it's kosher. What about shell eitz, made out of wood? Shell etzem, or bone? Shell schuchis, or glass? Devi akol psula. That's certainly a pasul menorah. Amalei Rabbi Yosef said back, to Rav Papa, the son of Rav Chanin. My daitich. How are you explaining this lesson? Amar le, so Rav Papa said back to Rav Yosef, Bein Mar u Bein Mar, both Rebbe and Rav Yosef, Rebbe Yehuda, that are in this brisa, klaliu prati darshi. They are interpreting a verse that has a more inclusive phrase than a detail and another more inclusive phrase. Miumar savar, one holds if it's klalu pratu klal. So ma prat mefureshes shel mateches, the exclusionary phrase, the detailed phrase is that it's metal. So I've called shel mateches, therefore you can use any metal. Omar Savra, and the one said, no, Ma Prat Mefuresh, the detail is not just metal, it's gold. It's Davar Chashev, something prominent. I've called Davar Chashev, so it has to be something prominent. And therefore, if it's not made out of something prominent, it wouldn't be kosher. And that's why he says it's possible if it's made out of lead or alloys or tin. That's the argument. Amar Lei, Rav Yosef said back to Rav Papa, Samidi Dach Mikame Didi. Take away your explanation from my explanation. Because on my explanation, they all agree that if it's made out of a metal, it's kosher, even if it's not a prominent metal. The Tanya we learned in a Braisa, Klei Share Shasan Shel Eitz, if you make a holy vessel out of wood, Rebbe posel. Rebbe says it's no good. Rebbe Yosef, Rebbe Yehuda match. Rebbe Yosef, Rebbe Yehuda says it is good. But my kamifli, what's the argument? Rebbe darish klal yu prati. Rebbe interprets with klal and prat. And Rebbe Yosef, Rebbe Yehuda darshens with a much more inclusionary way. Ribuya miuti. Rebbe darish klal prat. Rebbe is using the way of klal prat to klal. On the one hand, the verse says vasisa menoras. So make a menorah. That would imply anything, any type of menorah. Then when it says Zahav Tahor, it says with pure gold, Prat, that's the detail. Then when it says again, Miksha Teyasa Menorah, beaten out is the menorah made, Chaz of the Kol, that's again another generalization. Klalu Pratu Klalu Tadim Kena Prat. When you have a generalization, a detail and another generalization, it means it has to be with the common denominator of that of the detail. Matan Prat Mefur Shematechas of Kol Shematechas. So since the detail is metal, gold, any metal. However, Rabbi Yosef Yehuda Darshu B'Yimuti, he's using Ribui Miuti and Ribui. Asisa Menorah, he says, is a Ribui. It's to include almost everything. It's to include everything. Zav Torah is only to exclude one thing. Then when it says Miksha Te'asa Menorah, Chazav Ribui, it's again including everything. So Ribu Miyad V'Riba, Riba Akol, it's including everything. Umay Rabbi, Rabbi Kol Mili, it includes everything, but it's only excluding one thing. Umay Miyad, what is it excluding? Miyad Shel Cheres, it's excluding earthenware, but wood is acceptable. Rav Papa says back to Rav Yosef, Adrabah, no, I disagree. Samidi dach mikamidi di, take away your explanation from my explanation. I think my explanation is better. So Rav Yosef said back, lo sakadaitach, you can't think to say that. The Tanakh is linked in a braisa, ein lo zav, if he doesn't have gold to make a menorah, maybe afshel kesef, he can even bring it from silver. Or shel nechoshes, or copper, or shel barzel, or iron, or shel bedil, or tin, or shel oferes, or lead. And Rabbi Yosef Yehuda machshir af shel etz. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda even allows wood. The Tan Yidach lived in another brisa. Lo yas adam bayis tavnis heichal. You're not allowed to make your home in the exact measurements and shape of the heichal of the Beis Hamikdash. You can't make an aksadra, courtyard, keneged ulam like the ulam. Chatzer, keneged azara. You can't make a platform like the ulam. You can't make a courtyard like the azara. Shulchan, keneged shulchan. You can't make a table like that table. A menorah, keneged menorah. You can't make a menorah like the menorah of the Beis HaMikdash. Avalosa shel chamisa v'shel shisha. You can make 6 branches, 5 branches, shel shmona, 8 branches. V'shel sheva lo yaseh, but of 7 branches you can't make afilu mishar mine matachos, even from other types of metal, but apparently wood, yes. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda Omer, av shel etz lo yaseh, even wood you can't make. Derech shel chumach beis chashmonai, like the chashmonai made. Amar lo misham ra'i, you think that's a proof? Here it wasn't wood. Shvudim shel barzel hay, it was actually iron. V'chipim bevatz, they were covered with tin. And when Hashu, when they got wealthier, Asom Shal Kesef, they made them into silver. And Chazuv Hashu, when they got even wealthier, Asom Shal Zav, they made them into gold.